A little bit about the third parak of Kriya Shema, which is Parshas Shlach, so it's a little bit of a coincidence. This is Parshas Shlach, place in Eretz Yisrael. So it's still stuck on Balosra, we're ahead of them. So it's a competition. Now we'll even itself out in Matas Masay. It happens every couple of years. Sometimes it happens Pesach, and then you have a really long time. Sometimes it happens only Shavuos, and it's, of course, a very big question. Why do we wait so long to even it out? So when it comes to the Shavuos offset, there's really no chance to, because we can't combine any of the parshas. We don't combine Chudas and Karach. So the first parsha we can combine is Matas Masa after Shavuos. But after Pesach, there's a lot of Tazuyah Mitzara, Zacharim Skidoshim, and Garvech Chosain, and we went from Matas Masa. Anyway, we're in Shlach. So this is a parsha which is pivoted upon the mitzvah of Askaras Tzias Mitzrayim, which on Pipashas is derived from the Pasuk Laman Tizkar, Asyom Tzeischa Meir Tzayim Kayim Echayecha, the famous Mishnah and Brachos and Daf Yud Beis and the Beis, the famous Leil Seder, Koyim Mechayecha, the Rabbis Yimas and Mashiach, the Rabbis Leilos V'yamin. And there are two different approaches to why this parsha was chosen, and it comes up in the Gemara Daf Yud Beis. One approach is, as we saw in Shir, is there's really no need for this parsha in particular. There's nothing unique about this parsha. The Gemara continues many, many different options, not many, but other options. In fact, one of the finalists is Parshas Balak, because Parshas Balak and Bilam's Nevoah also has a reference to Mitzrayim twice. He says Kel Hotziyam in Mitzrayim. So in theory, instead of reading Shlach, we could have read any parsha for that matter that has Yitzias Mitzrayim and sounds like Shema, because there's night and day. B'shach b'chav v'kumecha, that Balak has Kar Shachav Kari. We don't want to read a parsha without anything to do with Kriya Shema. So we don't just want to read any stam reference to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the two finalists were Shlach and Balak. And Shlach won on a technicality, because Balak's really long, because there's no separation, there's no pauses in the Balak Parsha. So Mishum Tircha de Tzibura, Chazal chose to read Parsha Shlach and to incorporate it into Kriya Shema. That's a very, very streamlined, bare-bones approach. There's nothing really unique to Shlach, there's nothing else in Shlach that interests us. It just so happens to be, Anei Hashem Elokechem, Asher Rotzeis Yischem, Yitzchem, Yoschem, Elokim, Anei Hashem Elokechem, Mitzrayim. So it's a nice... The other approach is taken by the second day in the Gemara. The Shlach was chosen because it has a combination of, I would say, three things. Number one, Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is right the golden chalice, which we're looking for. This is our target. It also has a mitzvah, unlike Parshas Balak, which has no other mitzvah, namely the mitzvah of tzitzis. And it doesn't just have an offhanded reference to tzitzis, but he uses tzitzis as a portal to Uzzachartim, is called Mitzvah Sashem, as a portal to Los Asirachay, the Vavchem Vichray Nechem, Asheretim Zonim Acharim. This is the second position in the Gemara and Brachos, because Parshat Tzitzis talks about avoiding both theological error, Minos and Avodah Zarah, as well as avoiding Hihuri Avera, Achray Nechem, Asheretim Zonim Acharim. So because it has that combination of, as we would call it in our language, Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, since Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim is the overarching theme of Shema Yisrael, so Shlach was chosen over any other parsha, not by default, because all the other parshas were disqualified because they're too long, but because it has this combination of Haskaras Yitzias Mitzrayim and general Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. Or the Shalmi says it a little bit different. It's the same approach. It has reference points to Aseres HaDibros, because all of Kriya Shema is reference points to Aseres HaDibros. So some of the last Dibros, Lo Sachmod, Esh Esriacha, Lo Sachmod Ben Esriacha, Lo Sachmod Levachem Vechrei Nechem, are referenced in the end. So that's why we read it, but the principal motivation for reading another Parsha is Haskaras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Which Parsha we choose may either be by default, based on all sorts of technicalities, or maybe, as we would say, Lechatchila, ideal, this is a Parsha to recite. I'm just going to talk a little bit, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, I want to get back to the brachos, about how tzitzis helps us, on the one hand, remember all the mitzvos, and on the other hand, avoid hirori aveira. So we'll talk a little bit today about the mitzvos. The Gemara in... well, let's start from the beginning. Anyone know what Rashi says, the famous Rashi? How does tzitzis remind us of all the mitzvos? Gematria. Gematria. The gematria of tzitzis is... 600. Tough is 4. Tzadi Tzadi is 90, so it's 180. So that's 580. Okay, and then Yud Yud. Yeah, two Yuds, and this is very nice. Well, this is 600. So if you take the gematria of tzitzis, which is 600, wait a second, it's 13 off. Okay, so if you take the 8 strings and the 5 knots, then you get to 13, which is probably one of the most creative and inventive gematrias. I mean, normally gematrias are straight up. What does the letters mean? Here's a combo gematria. There are very few gematrias like that in Shas. There are gematrias that are off by a few letters. There are very few gematrias that are combinations of letters, right? And a lot of people, even if you appreciate gematria, it's part of our masorah. A lot of people roll their eyes at gematria because people get up at the bar mitzvah and say silly things. So you don't just make up your own gematria, because you can make up crazy gematrias. Ibn Ezra says this. You use a gematria when there's a masorah from Chazal. There's a masorah from Chazal that's done in Zeris Lamajam because Lindor Nezer Lahadir. Or other gematrias that Rashi calls Alpidrush. So sometimes gematrias are used for halachic purposes. Sometimes gematrias are used for divrei machshava. And these were part of the masorah that Hashem gave to Moshe at Har Sinai, that here, for whatever reason, which is an interesting question on its own, the concept is going to be conveyed by a mathematical quantity and not just by whatever drasha. But it doesn't mean you go up and make up your own gematria. You use gematrias that we have up here in Masara. So this is an interesting gematria. And why did Rashi require this gematria? In fact, it's not really quoted in any thing. I once found in one medrash, but it's not a very popular Mamar Chazal. The answer is, and it's an interesting historical fact, is because when Rashi lived in France in the 11th century, he didn't have the real reason. What's the real way that tzitzis reminds us of all the mitzvahs? It's called chelas. And that's what Rebbe Meir said. When you look at tzitzis, you see the chelas. When you see the chelas, you think about the ocean. When you think about the ocean, you think about the sky. When you think about the sky, you think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then you remember all the mitzvahs Hashem gave you. So it broadens your narrow perspective, and you think about the overall sky that leads you to all the mitzvahs. Rashi didn't have tchelas for about 800-900 years, or maybe even 1,000 years. He hadn't yet had tchelas, so Rashi had to go, I wouldn't call it fishing, because he had a masara. It's not like he made it up, but it wasn't the prominent masara. If you went back 2,000 years and you asked how it sits as your mind us of all the mitzvahs, people would say, oh, because you look at the blue, Rabbi Meir's halacha. But Rashi slipped in a gematria. Now there's another day in the Gemara, how tzitzis reminds you of all the mitzvahs. That's what I really wanted to talk about briefly today. The Gemara says in Menachos, in Gimel Amud Beis, it's not like you look at the blue of the tchelas and you remember the ocean and the sky, but you look at the tchelas and you say, wait a second, what's the mitzvah that's juxtaposed to tzitzis in the Torah? So in Parshas Ki Teiteh, tzitzis appears twice in the Torah, once in Shlach, where tchelas actually appears, and once in Ki Teiteh, where it's a very, very scaled down pasuk. Anyone know the pasuk in Ki Teiteh? Gedilim tatsalcha al arba kanfos kususcha asher techasaba. So I mentioned tcheles, I mentioned psil. Very, very, very. The only element you have in Parshas Ki Teiteh, one of the only elements is the word gedil. You don't really have the word gedil in Parshas Shlach. The Gemara Menachos calibrates what gedil teaches us, what psil teaches us, what tzitzis teaches us, goes to all the drashas. So the Gemara says in Menachos, you look at tzitzis and you remember, because remember, Ki Teiteh is that long, long list of mitzvahs. Remember, oh, what's the mitzvah next to tzitzis? Shatnez. What's the mitzvah next to shatnez? You just go through the catalog of mitzvahs. What the Gemara is saying is that there are two ways you should have experience in this world. Okay, remember, Rav Lichtenstein is once teaching us Isha Halacha. So when there were Isha Halacha, the Rav says, you see the whole world is through halachic lenses, through halachic paradigms. So you go to a bus stop, you don't really see a bus stop, you see a sukkah, a potential sukkah. You see a flower, you don't just see a flower, you see, I don't know, halacha of kilayim. You see a cow, you don't look at the cow, you look at the dine trefos and the different animals of Gidon Asher. But basically your whole perspective in life becomes halachic, and you know, you bring halacha out of the base matters, and you're able to live halacha so deeply that it becomes your lens through which you view reality. Rav Aaron said, that's a little bit extreme. That's one way to view the world, but you also have to appreciate the world of beauty that Hashem created. You can't just deconstruct everything you see and every experience you have into halachic calculus. Oh, let's have some lunch now. Okay, let's go through the halachas of Shlosh Shachlu Keachas and go through the halachas of Suda. You have to have a balance between being able to experience the world in a non-ritualistic manner and just see it as a human being. And on the other hand, you also have to be able to see halacha in everything, not to leave halacha as some bifurcated, compartmentalized thing you study in the base matters that doesn't relate to your world and isn't relevant to your world. And these two Gemaras are trying to create that complementary strategy. What do you think when you see blue? So part of you should say, well, I think about the sky and the heavens and the oceans, and I use color. let my imagination run wild, and that's an experience that in theory anyone would have. Any non-religious person, even someone that doesn't have Torah, you look at blue and you make associations with color. And someone was asking me the other day, now that we're in the age of artificial intelligence, so what is creativity? And what does it mean to be creative? So actually a team of scientists in the previous wave of artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence isn't one big block of, it's been different waves of artificial intelligence, but in the 70s and 80s, it was a team of people that tried to decide what is creativity. How would you define creativity? So they defined it in order to give computers and machines creativity. So they defined creativity, what they called fluid analogy. Fluid analogy means, let's say I'm talking to Hanan, so you've got black glasses, I think about, black crows, and I think about birds, and because I think about birds, and I think about the Chula Valley, I think about Tiberia, I think about Hidanasi. So somehow, I started with Hanan, and by association, jumping from one related analogy to another, all of a sudden the conversation ends up with the Mishnah that Hidanasi made. That's what it'd be creative. You have to have a broad field of ideas, because if you have a limited field of ideas, there's very little to make associations with. If I said play a game, write down 100 words on a piece of paper, and just try to think only within those 100 words, your thought process would be very, very limited. Your conversation would be limited. Try it. It's an interesting exercise. Write down 100 words and try to carry out a conversation with someone using only 100 words. Conversation is very stunted. Try to think using only 100 words. Your thought process is very, very narrow. So the broader you have exposure, the more creative you are. So you have to look at blue and by association. Okay, blue reminds me of the sky, reminds me of the ocean, sky, heaven. You get that Kadosh Baruch Hu to color. But you also have to get to a Kadosh Baruch Hu through Pashas Kiteitse. You also have to get to a Kadosh Baruch Hu by knowing the halachos and by thinking through halacha. Oh, I see the tzitzis. Oh, that reminds me that in Kiteitse, there's a juxtaposition between tzitzis and kilayim. And what's the other juxtaposition that kilayim has? So you have to train your mind to be both. Some people are so halachic that they shut down the other lenses. They don't see the world through those other lenses. Some people, they don't sufficiently adopt the halachic lens, and their only pathway in Ruta Kodesh Baruch Hu is experiential and humanistic rather than ritualistic. And the challenge is to be both, is to be through two different mental arteries, through two different mental highways. Think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay? Good morning. I think tomorrow we'll have one more share on this, and then Thursday we'll have Rashi, and then we'll get the Berachas HaKrishma.
Okay, good morning, guys. Good morning.